Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
All right, thank you. Well, this question that was asked of Jesus, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times, which sounded like a lot. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And the point is that forgiving and being forgiven is meant to be a shockingly big part of our lives. That just as it seemed impossible to do 77 boppets, but the call to forgive others more than we could ever imagine needing to forgive them is actually the shock that Jesus wants us to feel this morning. We're going to watch a little video. Now, it's very silly, and it's do not try this at home, but I suspect if you do have a brother or sister, there might be parts of it that feel a bit familiar to you. It's some silly karate brothers, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to be talking amongst ourselves after the video. What did the little brother do right, and what things did the big brother do wrong? I suspect the parents will enjoy it as well, but it is pretty crazy. Let's go.
Jeff News, Christian Karate Kaboom!
Hello and namaste. I'm Sensei Jeff Neal. Welcome to my dojo, where we practice the ancient art of karate. The dojo, much like Star Trek Deep Space Nine, is a place where we learn life lessons for life. Today, my Daniel sons, we're learning about forgiveness. Life brings you many opportunities to give and receive forgiveness. To demonstrate that fact, I've asked my brother, Neil, to join us today.
Neil! Stop. I kneel last. I'm the sensei.
I'm sorry. That was all me. I'm sorry.
What you're about to hear is going to blow your mind and cause Mulan's ears to bleed. Those words my brother just said, I am sorry, are a vital part of life and an even more vital part of karate.
So you're sorry.
What? Shut your pie hole.
Recently, I was forced to practice the art of forgiveness when I discovered that it was my brother, Neil, who was responsible for the untimely death of my pet grasshoppers, Optimus Prime and Beyonce.
Get over here!
To demonstrate my forgiveness to my brother Neil, I thought we could bury the proverbial hatchet by playing a good old-fashioned game of mercy.
That is very forgiving of you, Sensei.
You know it.
Round one. 3, 2, 1, fight!
Say mercy!
Mercy!
Say mercy!
Mercy!
Say it!
Mercy!
Mercy and forgiveness granted. My young Padawan, even though your hands are still moist with the blood of Beyonce.
My hands are numb. They're numb. My carpal tunnel. Mom!
No,
Mom!
Mom, no, we're fine. We're fine, Mom, no.
No, shh. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Mom!
Stop, Mom, no.
It's fine. We'll take you to McDonald's.
Well, I told you it was pretty silly. could possibly enjoyable. And I'm sure for those of you who have siblings, not relatable at all, never happens. Mom, Mom, shh, 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 Mom. All right. With those who are seated around you, just a couple of minutes reflecting about what did the little brother do right? Not counting the untimely deaths of Optimus Prime and Beyonce. What did the little brother do right? What things did the big brother do wrong? Okay. Well, I'm sure there are many more minutes you could spend analysing and deciding what we learnt or did not learn about forgiveness from Christian Karate Kaboom. But the main thing that we need to know, and that Sensei Jeff did tell us, was that saying sorry and being forgiven and forgiving other people will be something that needs to happen often in our lives. It really doesn't matter how great your family is, how great your workplace, your school, your friendship group, or your church is, you will need to say sorry and you will need to forgive people. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says it's so important that even when you come to worship God, in their case at the temple, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, that is, you've done something to hurt them and you haven't said sorry, leave your gift there. Stop what you're doing and go and say sorry, be reconciled to them. That means come back together in relationship, in friendship, and then come and resume your worship. The second thing that Jesus says is that if your brother or sister sins against you, if someone does something to hurt you, rebuke them. That means confront them, tell them what they did, and if they repent, if they say sorry, forgive them. Jesus expects that we'll need to say sorry and we'll need to forgive other people. And it's so important to Jesus that it's even in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins or forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Incredible. The disciples said, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them how to forgive other people at the same time. Forgiving and being forgiven is the bread and butter of the healthy Christian life. It's what we need to live on every day. Forgiving and being forgiven is the bread and butter of the healthy Christian life, and it starts with God. Now, I do need some help from our littlest ones because I've got a job that requires some serious scribbling. What I need you to do, take a whiteboard marker, and I need you to make just a huge scribble all over this board. Yep. So you take your lid off. Here we go. And just scribbling, right? Just sticking on the board, though. Yeah, great. All right. I think we've nearly got enough. I need a bit more white space covered. Okay. Well, Jesus told an amazing story that's pretty challenging as well. And the story was about a king who was also a master who was owed a lot from different people, and he decided he needed to get all that money back. And there was one guy that owed him so much, just unbelievable amounts. The story says 10,000 bags of gold. And that's kind of, it's like, 10,000 times the average yearly salary. 10,000 times. So whatever that is like in the millions and billions, I don't know how much you earn, but Solomon, for example, had 600 or so bags of gold, the Bible tells us. So this is whatever that is, amount times more than what Solomon could pay. It would have taken him decades for Solomon himself, really the richest king, to pay it back. So he comes to the master and he says, I can't pay it back. Please forgive me. And what happens? The master takes pity on him and he rubs out all the debt. Now, we don't know how he managed to rack up so much debt. Like, did he get, I don't know, loans that he couldn't pay back? He told them he was doing some excellent building developments and then he went bust. I don't know, maybe he had 10 credit cards and then he got another 10 more. Whoa! Oh, that's me. Sorry. Ha! Could be fun. Depends if you learnt enough from it the first time round. Now, he could have left a little bit. He could have said, oh, well, you know, okay, I'm going to forgive you a little bit of it, but you need to pay me half. Or what I'm going to take is half your salary for the next 10 years. But no, he said, I'm going to rub it all of it, gone. Get rid of it completely. And we're going to pretend that that's what's happened here. Because that's what happens with object lessons. Woohoo! It was blue in the first place, right? Anyway, Jesus wants us to know something about God. Jesus wants us to know that the reason why we can live a life of forgiveness and being forgiven is because treating people with undeserved kindness is the heart of the kingdom of God, because that's how God acts towards us all the time. This man came to the master, who in this story represents God. And the master said, I understand you'll never be able to pay me back. He took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. The kingdom of God, God's way with us, is very, very generous. It's so generous that it's more than we could ever, ever pay back. I don't know whether you want to be a YouTuber when you grow up and, you know, have an annual salary of whatever, millions and millions of dollars playing video games for other people to watch. God's gifts to us, both in everything that we enjoy on the earth, as well as the hugest gift of his son Jesus dying on the cross for us, is more than we could ever, ever imagine. And he has forgiven us for ignoring him and taking for granted everything that is beautiful and good so much. And so he asks us to do the same. What did the forgiving master do? How are we to start to forgive others? Well, the forgiving master did four things. And adults, you might have lots of questions about this, and we've got 2 weeks more of our forgiveness series after this week to answer some of those questions. But first of all, the master told the truth about the debt. He brought the person before him and he told him, you owe me 10,000 bags of gold. Sometimes we think that being nice and forgiving to someone means never talking about what happened. Or sometimes, if someone does something bad to us, they tell us, if you forgive me, you'd never tell anyone. That's absolutely not right. Even the older brother in that karate story video, going, don't tell mum, don't tell mum. That's not right. It's important that the truth be told about what has happened. And so that's what the master did. But second of all, he took pity on the person who did it. He looked at him and he knew. He had done stuff that he was so stupid about, that he was so selfish about, that he was so unwise and he knew he'd never be able to pay it back. He tried to put himself in the other person's shoes and realized he was lost. Now, he didn't lend him any more money. He didn't let it keep going on. But he took pity on him, human to human, understanding that what it takes sometimes for someone to be very hurtful is a lot of mess in that person's life. He took pity on him. Thirdly, he cancelled the debt. Now, the tricky thing is that in cancelling the debt, he couldn't get the money back from anywhere else. It's a lot of money. He had to absorb the loss. You might remember the story of the prodigal son, where the son says, "Dad, sell the estate, give me my portion of the inheritance." And he goes off and he spends it. And when he comes back, the father doesn't get it back again. It's gone. Sometimes when people do things to us and hurt us, there's nothing that can be done to make up for it. There's nothing that can fix the years of sadness, the really awful feelings, or in the case of the Karate Brothers, Optimus Prime and Beyonce were gone. To cancel that debt, to not hold it against his brother, he had to absorb that loss and say, they are gone. So, and fourthly, he lets the person go. He releases him from punishment. I've been reading a great book by Tim Keller on forgiveness and adults. I highly recommend it. It's really accessible. And Tim Keller says, forgiveness means abandoning your right to pay back the perpetrator in his own coin. It means that you no longer try and punish the person. You do not repay evil for evil. You no longer ask for an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You release the person from punishment. Now, questions of justice and what is right and wrong, we will get to those in a couple of weeks. And if you've got questions in your family, especially kids, great to start talking about this stuff. Really important. Forgiveness is two things we can see from this story. Without hiding or ignoring what has been done, forgiveness is, firstly, letting go of your need to avenge, retaliate, and punish someone who has done something wrong to you. Sensei Jeff said, "I'm going to forgive my brother. Look, I'm showing you how I'm forgiving him by playing this game of mercy and actually punishing his brother, hurting his brother back for the hurt that he felt at the loss of his grasshoppers." Forgiveness means letting go of your need to punish back, to avenge or retaliate. And secondly, it means letting go of your anger, resentment and bitterness towards someone who has done something wrong to you. Sometimes when we grow up in a household that goes to church, we know it's not right to hit someone back if we get hit. But it's different with our feelings. We can hold on to our feelings a lot and for a long, long time. Our feelings are really important, but we have to be able to work out with God and with our families how to let go of those feelings of resentment, bitterness, and anger, because part of forgiveness means being able to move forward into a new future. And resentment and bitterness keep us in the past. So if we've been forgiven so much by God, if this is what he's done for us, what is our response when we need to forgive someone? Well, in that story, the shocking thing is that the man who had been forgiven all of those hundreds of thousands of dollars went to his friend and said, you know how I lent you $20 the other day? I need it back right now. Now you and I can think, but what do you need it for? You've just had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt been wiped out. You've had a fresh start. You don't need anything from anyone else. But he couldn't see or embrace that at all. And so he went out still in this attitude of give me what's mine. And the other servants were horrified. So they told the master, the king, and he called the servant back in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours. I gave you everything, everything, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? What did you need that for? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Now, it'd be great to be able to stop that story just as at the question, wouldn't it? Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? That's a great question and one that's really important for us to think about. But because forgiveness and being forgiven is so shockingly important, the end of this story is shocking as well. The importance that God places on our need to forgive others really is shocking. And he knows that it's the only way human beings will ever be able to live in any sort of harmony or peace on this world. Treating people with undeserved kindness is at the heart of the kingdom of God because that's how God acts towards us all the time. And if we decide that we've received everything from God, all this beauty, friends, family, food, sunshine, rain, and the gift of Jesus, restoring our relationship with God by dying a horrible death on a cross, if we see all of that and we receive all of that, and yet we cannot give even the smallest amount of generosity and forgiveness to others, God says, you clearly don't want to live in my kingdom. This is not how people in my kingdom work. You don't like the way my kingdom works. Remember the older brother in the story of the prodigal son? He says, I don't like the way your kingdom works, Dad. You've let the silly younger brother who's spent all your money back into your house. I don't like the way your kingdom works. I don't want to come back in. Now, of course, the offer was there. But he, just like the unforgiving servant, was excluded at that time from the kingdom of God because he said, that's not how I think it should work. Well, we're coming to the end of this time. And Seb, if you can go to the question about our feelings and our actions for forgiveness. Thank you. I want you to have just a few minutes, 1 minute, of thinking, and if you want to talk, you can. What feelings are connected to forgiving someone? Or if you're the one needing to be forgiven? What actions might be connected to forgiveness? And if you're the one needing forgiveness, do you have actions that you need to do? Let's spend 1 minute. You can either just think about it in quiet, but if you want to talk about it, that's absolutely fine as well. Maybe it's helpful for kids to do that. Feelings, actions. Sometimes the thought of needing to forgive or needing to be forgiven gives us really big feelings. And oftentimes we don't want to talk about it because it feels so big, so hard. One of the things we can do in church when we've got big feelings and we don't want to talk about it is to take some action. And one of those actions we can take is to be around the table of Jesus taking bread and wine, which reminds us of God's love for us. What we do when we need to move toward forgiveness and being forgiven is this. We start with God's grace. We think about how good God is to us in giving every good thing to enjoy, and most of all, in giving us Jesus. A table is an expression of giving, of lots of abundance, of kindness, of inclusion. And so we start with God's grace. We think about how good God is. And we think about Jesus. We also tell someone about what happened to hurt us or to make us feel sad or angry. Church is sometimes a hard place because we're encouraged to speak out things that make us feel very uncomfortable. But I want to say, especially for kids today, if you felt those feelings, if you thought about what does it mean that I need to be forgiven or someone needs to forgive me, it might be really good to try and get some help to talk about those things. And if something's happened that you feel really sad about, but you haven't been able to talk about, might be a great time to make a start. And for those of us who feel hurt by someone, we need to ask God to help us know what it will look like in our life to forgive that person. Now, kids and adults, we need to talk to someone for help sometimes. Now, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to explain different ways that we can do that work together.